So as Viv's come up to speak, I'll just pray with him and then we'll get to hear Viv's word. So Lord, for Viv, we thank you for his faithfulness. We thank you that he does hear from you. And Lord, now we pray that the words that he brings will bring life, will bring revelation, will bring understanding. And Lord, through everything that life has thrown at them over the last 24 hours, then Lord, I pray that Viv's eyes will be fixed on you and these words will be your words. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Viv. I'm part of the leadership team here in City Valley in Airedale. Wonderful. So this morning we're continuing our series in the Psalms, Psalms for the summer. I'm going to be continuing that series with one of my favourites, which is Psalm 37. It's one of the wisdom psalms. So if you read it, it feels a bit like a chunk of Proverbs. So Proverbs is kind of a piece of wisdom literature. It's full of Solomon's wisdom and wise advice. And Psalm 37 feels similar to that. It's written as an acrostic. Who knows what an acrostic is? Hands up if you can remember what an acrostic is. I reckon all the kids will know what an acrostic is. An acrostic is where you have, if you were to write one, you put a word down on the side of the page, and then it all comes across. So it's an acrostic with 22 sections, each starting with a letter from the Hebrew alphabet. So it is like an A to Z poster that's written on your bedroom wall. David wrote this like an A to Z because he wanted it to stick in our heads, that if you get an acrostic, it's there to kind of help you try and remember it. And so this is the same for this psalm, that he wanted, clearly David wanted, who wrote it, wanted us to be able to memorize what's being said here. And Psalm 37 is all about contrast. It's comparing the wicked or the evildoer with the righteous. And when the Bible talks about the wicked, it doesn't just mean really nasty people. This isn't kind of Disney wicked of kind of like people. It means anyone who isn't in relationship with God. That's what the Bible means when it talks about the wicked. It's anyone who isn't in relationship with God. And the righteous aren't just those that are really good people with a halo around their head and kind of floating on clouds. But actually the righteous is anyone who is in relationship with God. So the wicked are those that aren't in relationship with God. The righteous are those that are in relationship with God. This isn't highlighting people's actions. This is not about how good are you. It's not about how well are you behaving at school or in the office or whatever else. But it's where your heart's at. It's about the heart. It's a heart reflection. It's whereas a wicked person is somebody whose heart is not following Christ. A righteous person is somebody whose heart is given up to Christ. So we're going to start this morning by reading all 22 sections from this psalm together. And I want you to have a look as we read through it. See if you can spot the contrast between the wicked and the righteous as we go through. And the way we're going to do this is it's all going to come up on the screen. And I'm going to hand the mic around. And if you'd like to read it out, read a little bit. If you don't want to read it, pass it on to the next person. But we have 22 minutes or 22 sections, which I reckon will be a few minutes. So, yeah, we want to be relatively quick. So I'm going to pass the mic around. I'm going to start with my wonderful wife, who I'm sure will be happy to read. And then she can pass on to the next person. If you don't want to read, then, pass it on. For a bonus point, you can read out the Hebrew letter that goes alongside of it. So they're all there as well. Okay. Aleph, let's go for that.
Don't worry about the wicked or envy those who do wrong. For like grass, they soon fade away. Like spring flowers, they soon wither.
Bet. Trust in the Lord and do good. Then you will live safely in the land and prosper. Take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desire.
Gimel. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust him and he will help you. He will make your innocence radiate like the dawn, and the justice of your cause will shine like the noonday sun.
Dalet, be still in presence of the Lord and wait patiently for him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes.
He, stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Don't lose your temper. It only leads to harm. For the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land.
Vav. Soon the wicked will disappear. Though you will look for them, they will be gone. The lowly will possess the land and will live in peace and prosperity.
Zayin. The wicked plot against the godly. They snarl at them in defiance. But the Lord just laughs, for he sees their day of judgment coming.
Chet. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. But their swords will stab their own hearts and their bows will be broken.
Tet. It is better to be godly and have little than to be evil and rich. For the strength of the wicked will be shattered, but the Lord takes care of the godly.
Yod. Day by day the Lord takes care of the innocent, and they will receive an inheritance that lasts forever. They will not be disgraced in hard times. Even in famine they will have more than enough.
Taf. But the wicked will die. The Lord's enemies are like flowers in a field. They will disappear like smoke.
Lamed. The wicked draw their swords and string their bows to kill the poor and the oppressed, to slaughter those who do right. But their swords will stab their own hearts, and their bows will be broken.
Mem. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. Though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand.
Nun. Once I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the godly abandoned or their children begging for bread. The godly always give generous loans to others, and their children are a blessing.
Samek. Turn from evil and do good, and you will live in the land forever. For the Lord loves justice, and he will never abandon the godly.
Ayin. He will keep them safe forever, but the children of the wicked will die. The godly will possess the land and will live there forever.
P. The godly offer good counsel. They teach right from wrong. They have made God's law their own, so they will never slip from his path.
Tasadi. The wicked wait in ambush for the godly, looking for an excuse to kill them. But the Lord will not let the wicked succeed or let the godly be condemned when they are put on trial.
Cough.
Yeah.
Put your hope in the Lord. Travel steadily along his path. He will honour you by giving you the land. He will see the wicked destroyed.
Resh. I've seen wicked and ruthless people flourishing like a tree in its native soil. But when I looked again, they were gone. Though I searched for them, I could not find them.
Shin, look at those who are honest and good, for a wonderful future awaits those who love peace. But the rebellious will be destroyed. They have no future.
Tav. The Lord rescues the godly. He is their fortress in times of trouble. The Lord helps them, rescuing them from the wicked. He saves them, and they find shelter in him.
Wonderful. Well done, everybody. Very good. So we're all going to now go repeat it off by heart? No? Okay. Maybe go away and have a read and try and memorize some of it. So, did you see the contrasts? There was the buts that came in. It was the wicked did this, but the godly are like this. And this psalm paints a picture of what it looks like to live in a world that has walked away from the wisdom and plan of God. And it's as relevant today as it was when it was written almost 3,000 years ago. 3,000 years ago. We may have modern technology and cultural developments, but deep down, people have always been the same. Like the world David lived in, our world is full of evil. in verse 1, anger in verse 8, wickedness in verse 10, division in verse 12, wealth or kind of greed in verse 16, power struggles and greed again in 21. And we all see this on the news, on social media, or maybe even see it in our streets. We see people arguing, we see people worrying about money, we see people feeling divided. And so how are we as Christians meant to respond and live in this world? Well,
here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
That is David's response to a world full of evil, anger, wickedness, division, wealth, power struggles and greed. He says, don't worry. He says that three times in verses 1, 7 and 8. Now, to me, that doesn't feel like a particularly helpful answer. When we see all the challenges around us and the impact they may be having on our lives, we can't just brush it off with a song and just be happy. It's like someone telling a friend not to worry when their house is burning down. Don't worry, it's fine. Now, David is a smart guy, right? He doesn't have his head in the clouds. He's written other psalms that are full of sorrow and frustration. So he isn't someone who just carries on all smiles and unicorns, whatever the circumstance throws at him. You ever met those people that are wonderful but slightly frustrating when they're always happy all of the time? Maybe you're married to one. I know my wife is. David isn't saying ignore the fire. He's saying look who is bigger than the fire. David is looking at the world around him through a different lens. And we should too. In 1 Chronicles 29:15 it says this. We're here only for a moment. Visitors and strangers in the land as our ancestors were before us. Our days on earth are like passing shadow. Gone so soon without a trace. As Christians we know that our time on earth matters. We know it matters. It's been made by God. We've been made by God. So therefore our life matters. But eternity is our forever home. It's a bit like we're on holiday, enjoying it for a little while, but knowing that home with Jesus is where we truly belong. You ever had that when you go on holiday? It's good. But at some point you go, oh, I'm looking forward to getting back to my own bed. To a shower that actually works. With Jesus in eternity is our where we truly belong. It says in Psalm 84, for a day in your courts, which is with God in eternity, is better than 1,000 elsewhere. There is something better in store for us people. We're to look at this life through the lens of our eternal inheritance with Jesus. That we can look at this life, and it's important, but our lens is to look at something more. And at 6 points during this psalm, David contrasts the success, the power, and money of this life with the eternal inheritance we receive through our relationship with God. The evil, the anger, the wickedness, the division, the power struggles, the greed of this world will soon fade away like grass. And they will be cut off from God. But God's promise to his followers is that we will inherit the land. We will delight ourselves with abundant peace. We'll be blessed. We'll live in the land forever and have a peaceful future. Doesn't that sound better than anything this world can offer? Doesn't that sound better than anything we strive for in this world? But we aren't just meant to look forward to the future. It's here, now. We live in a time of now but not yet. That the future is already here, but its fulfillment will come in the end times. I've been reading the story of the prodigal son and felt God speaking to me through it several times over the last few weeks. And I think I mentioned this last week, actually. And so many of us will know this story, that the father has two sons. The first son says, essentially, Dad, I wish you were dead. I want my cash now. Give it all to me. And he goes, okay, here you go. And he goes off and he squanders it, and he comes back and he is received back into the household with grace and with love. And the older brother is the one that has worked hard. He's stuck around. And he's in the field and he hears this party going on for his younger brother. And he's like, what the heck is going on? And the dad comes out to him. And the son has a go. He's like, I've been working here. I've been doing all the stuff. And I've never even been given a goat to have with my friends. And I love what the father's response is. He says, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. All that is mine is yours. He's already received the inheritance. It's there available to him to live. He didn't need to ask for a goat to go and have with his friends. He could say, dad, I'm going to take a goat and hang out with my friends. He'd be like, great. All that is mine is yours, son. Enjoy it. Receive it. I loved, we sang the song earlier that said, in my father's house, there is a place for me. The older son had forgotten and lost the fact there was a place for him in the house. We see that really clearly with the younger son who's gone off and away. But actually the older son is in the same place. He needs to know there's a place for him in his father's house. Not his master's house. He's not a servant, he's a son. And the father says, son, you are always with me. And this for us is the Holy Spirit. That is the deposit of the inheritance that is to come, is that we receive the Holy Spirit now in us. And it's through the Holy Spirit we're able to live in a way that now reflects what the future will look like. It's through the Holy Spirit that we get to receive the inheritance of what is to come fully. The Holy Spirit is the first deposit of that, and we see wonderful things happen. That the healings at New Day are children receiving the inheritance that is theirs. It will be theirs for eternity, but they're receiving some of it now. So therefore, that is what we get to enjoy, is that we get to live in this place of now but not yet. It will all come to us in the new heaven and the new earth. But actually, we're already able to receive the inheritance now through the Holy Spirit, through the work that he does in our lives, through the miracles that we see, through the blessings that we see. And so this psalm is full of many instructions about how we should therefore live. If we have this new lens of looking to the inheritance for the future, we're called to trust in the Lord, to refrain from anger. I heard a few of you chuckle when that was read out earlier. To be generous, to delight in God, to do good, to teach right from wrong, to meditate on the law of God, and to be honest. This is how we are to respond to what we see in the world and how we are to live thanks to the inheritance that's been won for us already. And we choose and are able to live differently because of we have a different perspective of what the world is like. We have a different perspective of what this world is all about. That the phrase that was around on social media when I was younger was YOLO, you only live once. And that's true, and so therefore the whole premise was do everything now because this is all you've got. But we get, no. This is just temporary. This is just a holiday. Actually, our inheritance is in eternity with Christ. And therefore, we are able to be full of the Holy Spirit as a deposit of that for now. And we get to live in that place. But we can find it very easy to look at the success, the wealth of people around us, and feel jealous. Just me? No, good, I see a few shakes of the head. Good, it's not just me. Maybe they have a bigger house, a nicer car, a newer games console, a longer holiday, a better job, a bigger bedroom, or a newer phone. But as we choose to put Jesus first, changing our perspective from a worldly to eternal view, we receive an inheritance in eternity that is so much better than anything this world can ever offer us. It says in Hebrews 9, all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of the sins they committed. As we live differently, we're showing those around us a better way. We're showing them the way of Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. as we live looking to the future, receiving the inheritance now as a deposit through the Holy Spirit, choosing to live in a way that reflects what is to come, not just what we see around us. We get to be reflecting Jesus to those around us. Now, I know what you're thinking. Viv, this sounds great. But that list of how we should live looks hard. I have been angry this weekend with my plumbing and with my dog. No, don't, Ara. Annoyingly, my child was less angry with the dog than me when we went on the walk together. He's just far more gracious than I am. But it sounds great, doesn't it? It sounds great. Yes, we have this eternal inheritance. We get to live with our eyes fixed on the future. It's been won for us. Great, let's live. But the world keeps breaking in. None of us will ever live up to the list of how we should live. None of us will ever live up to this, of being refraining from anger, being generous, delighting in God, doing good, teaching right from wrong, meditating on the law of God, being honest all of the time. We won't do it. None of us is perfect. We all get pulled into the actions and thinking of this world. This world is powerful. The kind of society and the culture that we live can consume us. It can be speaking on every side. And that is where we need Jesus. He isn't just a good man to follow. He is our Saviour. And Julie, I loved what you brought at the start of the service from Ephesians 2. It says this. You were dead in the trespasses and sin in which you once walked, following the course of this world. That is, following the impact this world has on us. Following the prince of power of the air. That is Satan. The spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That is what it means to be part of the wicked. Again, it's not about our actions, but it's about our heart. It's about that we're being led astray, we're being pulled to the ways of this world. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love which he has loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So that in the coming age, in the future, that eternity, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. That's how we live. That's how we live. Aware of our sin, aware of where we've been brought from. So we've chosen to follow Christ. We're being brought out of sin, out of wickedness and brought into righteousness. We've been taken away from the powers of this world and been brought into the power and authority of Christ in our lives. That's how we are to respond. And therefore we don't have to worry. We don't have to worry. Because actually, this is not it. No matter how hard it may feel at times, no matter how challenging it may feel, this is not it. Our inheritance is secured in Christ. We get to live with him by his grace. And this psalm finishes by saying, the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their stronghold in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. How much of that is echoed in what we heard, it's just heard in Ephesians. Or as the Message translation puts it, the spacious, free life is from God. It's also protected and it's safe. It's God-strengthened. We're delivered from evil and we run to him and he saves us. In a world that is broken and temporary, we need to run to our Saviour in Jesus Christ. The one who not only takes on our sin and brokenness, but the sin and brokenness of the whole world. He carried it to the cross. We may know the spacious, free life is available to us, living under his grace. As we choose to follow Jesus, we find forgiveness, we find safety, we find strength. Not according to this world, but we get to live with an eternal perspective. fixed on what is to come, not on what we see now. But this takes courage and it takes commitment. And if you've been around since the start of the year, those words will hopefully cause your ears to prick up. Because in January we received a prophetic word from God calling us to courage and commitment as we follow Jesus and not follow the world. We're to have courage to live differently to the world around us and commitment to keep putting Jesus first, even when that is hard. I found verse 5 of this psalm such a helpful daily prayer for me. It says this. It's one I come back to almost every day. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will act. I choose to commit my day to the Lord. I choose to commit my day to him. I choose to trust in him, whatever my situation. And I expect him to act. It says he will act. It's not he may act or he could possibly act. It's he will act. He will be at work in my life. And so for me, that means that I try to stop doing it all myself. You ever done that with your prayers? You go, God, please break in this situation. I need you to come and work it out. And then you go away and try and do it all yourself. Now, what I'm not saying is that it's not up to us to do something. But actually, our heart sometimes can go, God, I give it all to you. But I'm going to kind of try and get it myself first. Just in case you fail or you forget. So I commit my day to him. I choose to trust in him, whatever the situation. And I expect him to act, to be at work. Verse 7 of this psalm continues and says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait patiently for the Lord to act. Wait patiently for him to come and be present. Look, too often we try to rush on or expect an answer to happen super quick. Why are we doing with time? I'm going to share a story. I'm bombing about all over the place. But so last New Day. Last New Day, there's an offering every year. And at this offering, basically it's like they say, right, kids, this is our time to give some of your finance to God as a trust exercise, as a way of saying, God, I want to follow you with my life. And so they receive hundreds of thousands of pounds every year. And it's wonderful. And that's not, it's not forced upon anybody. It's purely an opportunity to grow in the gift of giving. And as part of that, I'll say, I'm saying, oh God, Zach, it's great that we get this opportunity for our kids to see what it is to give. And I felt God saying, so what about you? I was like, well, I'm just here as a youth leader. Like, it's just for them. And the way that Naomi and I work our finances is that we have our main account, and we each have a pocket money account, which means that we get money put into each month, which means that we can then spend that on what we want to without having to kind of feel guilty about it or ask about it. A lot of mine gets spent on sports and on going to watch sport. Anyway, I had some money, not loads, but some money left in my pocket money account. And I felt God saying, give that. I said, oh, okay. Now, the issue was, I'd been using that pocket money account to pay for my treats at New Day. And I hadn't, as of yet, had one of their milkshakes. Now, if you've been to New Day, their milkshakes are worth the 20-minute queue to have a milkshake. They're incredible. And so I was like, okay, fine. So I gave my pocket money account. And left the meeting and then went to the milkshake queue. I was like, okay, what I'll do is I'll just use the normal account we have and just pay it back next month when the money comes in. And I got to the front of the queue. Literally, I was like the next person in. I looked down. I saw a £5 note on the floor. And I picked it up. And I was like, excuse me, I think you might have dropped a £5 note. And they're like, oh, no, it's not us. We're paying. It's not our money. I was like, oh, amazing. Thank you, Jesus. So I got my milkshake. Which is a fun, cute little story. New Day was this time last year. I work as a freelance designer. Up until this time last year, I had loads of work. I purposely stopped for the summer holidays, so I didn't have any work for the summer holidays. But then the work didn't come. And some of you all know this already, but we didn't. I didn't get any freelance work until January of this year. So that's 6 months. And then, so that's been my prayer. It's like, God, I trust you. I commit my day to you. I trust you. You will act. I'm going to be patient before you. And now we've got work again. And there's been a wonderful story of God spoke to Naomi about actually God's going to give us what we need, like the Israelites. He's going to give us what we need when we need it. And so we waited and we were like, God, we need money. And we worked out that we needed some money by the end of January. So 31st of January is a Saturday. And so at 5:30 on the Friday, the last working day of January, I got a message, an email saying, we'd like to use you for some work, please. It's confirmed and we'll give you the work. And so for us as a family, this has been such a wonderful example of God being trustworthy. And for us, it's been a choice to commit our day to him, to trust in him, knowing that he will act and that we can be patient before him and that he will act in time. And I tell you that story not to kind of big us up at all. And it's not around, and we struggled with whether to share it because we don't want to be kind of like making it known that we needed some money, which we didn't. Like, we were okay, it was fine. But this has been my prayer. This has been our prayer. Is God, we commit our day to you. We trust in you. You will act. Therefore, we're going to wait patiently before you. Maybe this is a choice that you need to make again or make for the first time in your life. Today is a day that you can choose to say, God, I commit my day to you. I commit my life to you. Maybe that's for the first time. Maybe you're here as a non-believer that you actually haven't chosen to follow Jesus with your life. You can say, I choose to follow you. And if you haven't made that choice, then you can make that choice today, right now. That whether you are here for the first time, whether you're one of our teens, or one of our adults that have been here and have been around for a long time, but actually that's never been a choice that you've made for yourself. Today you can say, God, I want to choose you. I want to commit my life to you, trusting that you will act in my life. So will you join me as we go into communion in praying with me? If you're wanting to put your trust in Jesus today for the first time, this prayer is for you, as well as everybody else. But that we get to enjoy looking forward to a future in eternity with him. We get to enjoy the fact that although we see all this chaos around us, this is not it. And we choose to put our trust and look to him, receiving his free gift of grace, knowing there's a space for us in his courts, and that we are welcomed into that place. So I'm going to pray a prayer together. And if you'd like to, then you can either pray it out loud or pray it as a whisper or in your heart. Kids, this is for you too. And if this is the first time that you pray a prayer like this, then that's a wonderful place. I'd love to chat to you afterwards. So Father, I commit my day to you, and I commit my life to you. I commit all of my choices, my actions, and my thoughts to you. I trust in your unfailing love, in your wisdom, and in the promises you have made to us, to bless us, and to bring me into eternity with you, the inheritance that you've won for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you are at work in my life daily. Thank you that we get to be patient knowing that you will act. And I thank you that you chose to go to the cross for me. As the greatest act of love ever shown, you acted. You act in our lives. You chose to go to the cross. And so I choose to receive you, your forgiveness for living life apart from you. Of choosing whether I'm a follower of you or not, of choosing to be sucked into the way of this world, of putting my priorities in the things of this world, not in my priorities of being in you. And I commit to live my life to you today, whether that's for the first time, whether that's for the umpteenth time, I choose to commit my life to you again today. Amen.